Welcome to the Fan Experience, a Phoenix Rising supporters podcast. Stick around for interviews, analysis, fan stories, and our love affair with Phoenix Rising. And now, to kick things off, is your host, Niall McCarthy.
Phoenix Rising family, I'm just back from the release party where the team released their new jerseys for the 2022 season and they announced to the world the name of our new captain, Darnell King. I'm so delighted to welcome him to his new role, a role that was left behind by Solomon Asante, who served as captain for three seasons from 2019 through 2021. Those were incredible years for the team where Solo led us in setting many records, including a historic 20-game win streak in 2019 and taking home the USL Western Conference Championship Cup in 2020. I'm confident that our new captain will bring even more success to Phoenix Rising. We're behind him all the way and look forward to being right there next to him when we win the big prize, the USL Cup in 2022. Our first guest on the show today is none other than the man of the hour, our captain, Darnell King. It's an honor to have Darnell on the show where he talks about facing and conquering adversity in the early days of his career and how that mindset he developed stays with him, giving him motivation to play every game like it's his last. Darnell talks about what it means to him to not have Solomon Asante return to the club, what he thinks about the new signings and his goals for the 2022 season. Darnell's a great guest, a favourite player of many Rising fans, and I'm very grateful to him for coming on the show. After the Darnell King interview, Kelly McCarthy is with us to talk about the preseason doubleheader where we took on Grand Canyon University and then in the second game, FC Tucson. That was on March 5th. Doubleheader, double winner. Kelly also takes time to reflect on the preseason as a whole and to talk about how prepared the team is for the 2022 season. Following on from that, we've got a fan story with Rising supporter James Bacon. James is very active on the Facebook group Phoenix Rising FC Talk, so I invited him on to talk about his Phoenix Rising story. James tells us how he found the club, his favourite moments, his favourite players, and more. I love hearing fan stories, I love the positive vibes, and I love hearing about the life-changing impact that comes with being a supporter of Phoenix Rising. Following James's fan story, we have John Morrissey, who goes by @USLTactics on Twitter. He's here with his weekly highlights from around the league. John brings us up to date about a notable signing of a player from Union Omaha to Sacramento Republic. He's got news of last-minute signings at Los Dos and Las Vegas Lights, as well as news of a former Phoenix Rising attacker who signed to Detroit City FC. As a side note, the coach with Detroit, his name is Trevor James. He once played for Ipswich Town FC, and Ipswich Town FC's current owners also own Phoenix Rising. Don't you just love the connections? We heard from the club during the week that Phoenix Rising will no longer have games broadcast on CW61, which was a free over-the-air service. Instead, games will now be broadcast on Bally Sports Arizona. Some Rising fans took to social media to express their disappointment, saying that going with a cable service instead of a free service was financially motivated. Rising owner Brandon McCarthy jumped into the conversation, saying that airing the games on Bally wasn't a financial move for the club. He said, CW wasn't able to have us back, so we had to find somewhere to go. If you don't have Bally Sports Arizona available on your cable network, or if you've decided to cut the cable, you can still see the games online with ESPN Plus. Okay, let's get on with the show. First up is that interview with Darnell King, followed by the doubleheader roundup and a reflection on the preseason with Kelly McCarthy. After that, it's the fan story with James Bacon, and then onto the league highlights from John Morrissey. Four guests in one show. Am I biting off more than I can chew? Absolutely. And I do it every single time for what is now 46 episodes. Hey, thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
This is Bobby Dooley, General Manager of Phoenix Rising Football Club, and you're listening to The Fan Experience.
Darnell King, welcome to The Fan Experience. You've had two great seasons with Phoenix Rising. You came in as a seasoned professional with eight solid seasons under your belt, but I'd argue that these last two seasons have been the best of your career. And what makes me say that is because Phoenix Rising finished higher in the standings in each year that you were with them than any of your other teams. You took a lot more shots last year than you did with any other team you were with. And last year you scored 3 goals, matching your personal best, which was set way back in 2013. So what do you think? Are these the best 2 seasons of your career so far?
Yeah, I mean, I would say these are some top seasons that I've had in my career so far. I mean, obviously the style of play suits my attributes and what type of player I am. So obviously it's great to get 3 goals as a right back and, you know, be able to attribute to the offensive side of things. So, and also, you know, the team being high in Spain, that just kind of speaks volumes to this club and, you know, their mentality and what we're about here. So, yeah, I would definitely say these have been the funnest years of my career, and I'm excited for the future with this team.
So awesome. We had Solomon Asante as our captain for the last few years. Obviously, it was a big shock for the fans to learn that he wasn't coming back. How's that impacted you?
I've said it before, that was my brother, you know, on and off the field. And it's a big, tough loss for me. But, you know, in life, these are things that happen and players have to make choices, what's best for them. And obviously, we love Solo to death. You know, he was a big leader here for us. So, you know, we try and, you know, walk in that path they've set before him. So, you know, all the best to him and whatever his life and future endeavors take him. And yeah, you know, obviously we missed him and it was a big toll on me, but you know, that is what it is.
Sure,
sure. That's something that he would say, for sure.
Everybody talks about what a great character Solomon Asante is. What was he like?
You know, in the locker rooms, you would just have this vibe, this presence that walked in when he came in, you know, and there would be a smile on his face. And, you know, when you could play behind such a good player with such a great attitude like him, you know, it just brought good vibes to the locker room and the club. And he always had that gauge where he knew when to turn it on and turn it off, where you can be, you know, fun, energetic, and have stuff with it. But then when it came time to being serious, he had that to lead the team with. So obviously, you know, with the stats that he put up, it's easy to follow someone like that because you know that he can lead by example, but also by, you know, leadership with words. And he got us motivated before games, I'll tell you that. There was some great before game locker room huddle. So it's a big part, like I said, that we'll miss, but you know, we carry on the legacy the best way we can and move forward and keep winning.
Awesome. Okay, so let's talk about your background. You started playing professionally back in 2012 with Fort Lauderdale. You spent 3 years there, moved to Tampa Bay Rowdies for 3 years, then had a year in San Antonio and a year in Nashville before your 2 years here with us. So do you have some highlights to share from those years?
Yeah, I would definitely say my first couple of years kind of set the tone of obviously my path. I think the team that we had and the way the league was going at that time, the NASL, it was tough for players. And I think the band of brothers that I had in 2014 really shaped me to stay strong throughout the career and the things that I may run into later on. And I would say that team was probably one of the strongest teams that I've been a part of just due to the situation that we were in. And we made it to the final and lost, but it took a lot because we were kind of under some struggles at the time. And we managed to fight our way and get to that point where there were other teams who had a lot more than we did at the time. So it kind of shaped me throughout my career, you know, to take my opportunities where they can and make the best of them. And that's just kind of what happened throughout my career. Like the 3 years at Tampa were great. I mean, I appreciate them bringing me in. But that third year, I guess some stuff went down and didn't really have a lot of looks. So San Antonio offered me something. So that's where a big opportunity came for me. And I took it and, you know, made the best of it and ended up in Nashville. And now I'm at the best club in the USL. So I'm super excited for anything that comes when this club is when I'm with this club.
Darnell, I mentioned earlier that you took more shots last year than any other year. So in 2021, you took 29 shots in 29 games. That stat jumped out at me. Do you pay attention to stats after every game? And if so, what stats do you look at and how important are the stats?
Well, I know for me, I always like to tell people I'm an offensive-minded defender, but I think my main job that I really need to focus on and what I do focus on first is defending. So taking a shot is great, but I know that's more of an offensive player job, which we usually have deadly three up front. So to be able to get shots in a game and for 29 shots in 29 games, I think that's great. But I think for me, a more important one is duels, my individual battles. How many of those can I win? How many key passes did I make forward to my offensive three and my midfielders? And then, I think those are two very important ones for me, especially with the style of play that we have, because we like to score goals. So, I mean, obviously, if I can get a chance to get in the offensive area and get a shot off, that's great. But for me, it would be how many shots do I get on target? Because it's rare that defenders get in those positions. So I would say shots on target, duels won, and key passes forward.
Gotcha. Okay. Is there a player that you compare your stats to?
I compare it to myself always. I think I'm my biggest competitor. So I don't really look at the stats of other players. I mean, that's just something I feel like comes with competition in general. But I would always try and better myself every game. So if I know I did poorly, just say, how can I better myself the next game and next game and next game till the season's over? So, I would say just with myself.
Great. Okay. Well, you know, the fans love to look at how you compare to other players. And I thought it would be fun to look at somebody who was named to the first team from last year and who was kind of a sensation last year. And he actually played in a similar position to you, except on the left side. And that, of course, is Jonathan Gomez. So you versus Jonathan Gomez. He's 17 years old. He was 17 years old last year. You're 30. So you've got years and experience on him. But let's look at your stats. One stat really flew off the page, and that is his crosses into the box. He had three, maybe four times what you had on that. And maybe that's because the styles of play were different. They might choose to cross into the box a lot. Maybe our style is to engage more in combination play, giving goals, crossing into the half spaces, splitting the defenders. So that, at least that's how I interpret why they had so many crosses compared to you, or why he had so many crosses compared to you. But then when I looked down specifically at a stat that you mentioned, the tackles in which the player won possession after the tackle. So you won 27, he had 23. Goals scored, you had three, he had two. Points per game, like, did you guys win with Darnell on the field? Well, your points per game were 2.2. So out of a possible 3 points per game, you've got 2.2 when you're on the field for Phoenix Rising. He had 2.1 with Louisville City. Then let's look at the plus or minus. Goals scored for your team minus goals scored by your opponent while you're on the pitch. So you're a plus 33, much better than his stat of plus 23. And then we've talked about your shots. You had 29 shots, he had 14. I'm blown away by that. What's your reaction?
Yeah, I think some statistics with some of the stats that you mentioned, I think it comes down to experience and could be positioning. Maybe when you pick and choose a goal, sometimes he may be a very like young-minded, I'm going to get forward as often as I can and get in a position to cross. And then it could come down to also what you said, how they play, their style of play. I think we're very high press, get to the point. We win the ball back in their half, go to goal. So a lot of times, a lot of our goals are scored, as you can see, by our forwards, you know. And for us, it's a lot of key passes and where we win the ball. You know, I don't know what their stat is, where they win the ball, but where we win the ball on the field is important to us. If we can win it back in that half, give it to our forwards and score, that's big for us. So, I mean, when it comes to stats and points per game, I think there's 11 men on the field. I think I do my part fairly well. But I think it takes a unit to get to 2.2 or higher. You know, it's not easy to do to win a lot of games. And it takes a lot of work, and it takes everybody being on the same page and understanding the system and sticking to the plan that the coaches put there for. So it's really, if you can buy into the culture and everybody's on the same page, it can make an individual stat much better. So like you said, I'll be honest, I didn't know who you were talking about. I don't really compare myself to other players. Whoever's going to be on the field, whether it's Drogba or whatever, I have to play them regardless. So, you know, I don't really look on the other side of their stats. I want to know their, like, what their attributes are and what their style of play is, so I know how to play it. But when it comes to stats, I don't really look at it too often that way. Like I said, I look at my own to figure out what can I do better here. So if it's duels won and I'm not above half, I feel like that's something I need to improve on next game and focus on a little more. So,
well, next time you want to cheer yourself up, take a look at your stats compared to pretty much any other player in the league, and it'll be a happy day for you.
Cool.
Are you nervous that we've got injuries in the center back positions with Niall Dunn and Manuel Madrid being out?
No, I'm not nervous. I think, you know, I trust my teammates and, you know, we all trust each other. I think it's important that, you know, we have that depth where if there are injuries, somebody can step up and do the job. Obviously, you know, you don't want these guys injured. And, you know, we have a great staff that takes care of them and, you know, is going to get them back as quickly as possible. But injuries are going to happen. It's a long season. And if it starts early, hopefully we can nip it in the bud and then move forward. So they're prepared for this long season. But yeah, not nervous at all. I think maybe some of the things that have happened in the past, I think that's what preseason's for, to make the mistakes now so you can fix them when the time comes. So yeah, not nervous, obviously. Speedy recovery to my teammates and my brothers, and, you know, hopefully they get back as soon as possible.
How about our new signees? You know, we've seen some of their preseason games and are kind of blown away. What's your take?
Absolutely. I mean, I think everybody has a pretty good take on the guys so far that have come in. You've seen their qualities, and if you've watched them in their previous teams, you see what they can do. And they're living up to that expectation. I mean, you know, they're great guys in the locker room. You know, they have great attitudes and they buy in quickly. I think it's important that new players that come to new teams, how can they adapt and how quickly can they adapt to this system? And these guys have done great, you know, very coachable. And like I said, very great guys to be with. And they like to score goals. They like to beat players one-on-one, which fits our style very well. And yeah, excited to have them. And obviously, you know, Babu, you know, he scored the goal on us last year, and you can see what he brings out of the back, which is great. Now you have that offensive attack from all cylinders. It's good to have, you know, these guys come in and they've done their part. So far, so good. So hopefully we keep that going and, you know, build it into the season.
Okay. First game's against Monterey Bay. Have you started looking at their team and how it's shaping up and thinking about how you're going to approach that game?
Me personally, I haven't really looked at any of the players. I mean, I've seen some of their signings, but for me, it's any given day. Like I said, I'm going to have to play the guy regardless. So I've kind of learned to pick out the things that I can see in a player first 5 minutes of a game and then kind of go from there. Obviously, you know, the coaches do a very great job in giving us the report on the team before, so we know what their players are like. Certain players do certain things and their style of play. So, you know, I think us as players, we have a lot of trust in our coaching staff to get us ready for these games the week prior. And yeah, I'm excited for this week coming up and ready for the first game of the season. And we take it one game at a time. So, I mean, obviously, you know, you want to win every game and prepare for the next ones. But I think the most important game is the one that's present in the moment. We'll be ready.
A lot of teams will be circling Phoenix Rising on their calendars. You know, it's well known we've got a target on our back. What teams are we circling on our calendar?
I think it's pretty obvious some of the teams that we got on our calendar. I think, you know, we love the rivalry against San Diego. You know, we've created that. Tampa Bay, we still owe them a piece, so it's great that we'll get to have a chance at them again. Really, for me, any team that steps into a Wild Horse Pass, they're circled to go dominate. And same when we go away. So every team, obviously, we're trying to win everything. That's what one of our mottos is this year. And then that's the plan. Like I said, one game at a time, whoever's on the list that week is who's circled and who's going to get the wrath of Phoenix Rising. So,
as a player, how do you feel about moving to the MLS? I'm not asking if you've got any insider information or anything like that, but just, you know, it's going to be a jump. What's the player's take on that move?
Yeah, I think as a player, I look at it more of the competition side, not really all the other stuff. I mean, obviously, we've played preseason games against MLS teams, and we've shown that we can compete with them with the team that we have now. So I think, you know, yeah, it's a big jump in a sense of the league and the things that may come with it. But I think when it comes to the quality of players, I think we have a very strong team that can compete at that level. So, I mean, that's much what I would say about that. I think, you know, we got guys still learning, but I think there's still guys learning in the MLS. So it's, you know, sometimes it can come down to just the name, but I think, you know, there's a lot of good players in the USL that can compete at that level. So really competition side for me.
Awesome. So before I wish you well, what would you like to say to the fans?
I'm excited to see everybody at Wild Horse Pass. I can't wait to get this season started. And you know what our main goal is this year, and we haven't accomplished it yet, but you know what it is. And we're striving to get that the best that we can, and we will.
Awesome. Well, best of luck for 2022. Best of luck for that opening game. We'll see you at Wild Horse Pass on March 12th.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
This is Rick Shantz, the head coach of Phoenix Rising, and you're listening to The Fan Experience.
Phoenix Rising family, in this segment, we're celebrating the 2022 preseason where we scored 20 goals in 7 matches. We had 4 wins, 2 draws, and just 1 loss. That was to an MLS team. Kelly McCarthy is with me to reflect on the preseason and to review the doubleheader from March 5th, where we played Grand Canyon University, followed up by a match with FC Tucson. We're going to start with that first game against GCU, where we won 3-2. Kelly, welcome to the show. Tell us about that game. Set the scene for us.
Thanks for having me. Sure. So as you mentioned, this was against Grand Canyon University. This is a university, a college team. They're a good college team right in our backyard. Super fun to play them. And I think the best way to describe this match is that we saw Phoenix Rising's second string. So, of course, this close to the regular season, Rick Shantz is putting together his first string and he's determining his second string. And we get a glimpse of that on Saturday night. So I'm sure you'll mention the lineup, and we can basically say with some confidence that this is our second string team. Now, as we'll discuss, we do have a substitution. We do have an academy player that takes the field. So, you know, some of these details are still being worked out, but Saturday night, these two matches, this doubleheader, we saw the line drawn in the sand, second string, first string.
Great. Kelly, about the lineups, let's go through that. Between the sticks, we had Lalo Delgado. Our fullbacks were Ryan Flood and Channing Chaston. Our center backs were Jonathan Levine and Manuel Madrid. In midfield, we had Carlos Angiano, Luis Cejas, Jacob Harris, an academy player, and Joey Calistri. Up front, we had Richmond Antwi and Claudio Repetto. So that's our 4-4-2. Kelly, what are your thoughts on that lineup?
I liked the lineup. And, you know, they played pretty well together. I think this is kind of a spoiler for the discussion of our first string, but one of the things that first kind of jumps out at you is we've got that 4-4-2 formation, and we've got Antwi and Repetto now sort of being determined as our second string strikers up top. So this is interesting. I think we had a bit of a battle going on between Hurst and Repetto. Maybe we didn't, but it felt that way based on when and how Rick played them. And it looks like we're determining Repetto is going to be in that second string. Same can be said for Antwi. Now, I'm not sure he was ever considered for that first string position, but he definitely has been very strong in the preseason. He continued to be through this match here. But so those forwards, those strikers, stand out to me. And another thing that one should note is that Madrid was in that lineup as well. Very nice to see him back to hopefully full fitness and recovered from that injury.
Yeah.
And then the last thing, sorry, one more thing. I'll keep it snappy. Also, we've got, as you mentioned, that academy player, Harris. So this is very interesting. You know, we have other players that we could be playing that could start with the second string, and instead we've got an academy player there. So kind of interesting, something to keep an eye on. Is this a place where we need depth? Is this a statement? Are we really considering this player? Interesting to see.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Kelly, here's how the game went. We got off to a bad start by giving up the first goal to GCU, but then we went on to score 3 goals. Richie Antwi, He got the first goal in the 17th minute, and it was an assist from Luis Cejas. Then Luis Cejas himself scored in the 32nd minute. Then into the second half for the third goal, and it was Tommy Wise. Tommy who? Tommy Wise. He was a sub. He came in for Antwi, and he scored based on an assist from Claudio Repetto. So, Kelly, what were your standouts in this game?
I think Cejas was a standout in this game, you know, all told, if we're just kind of looking at, hey, who catches your eye, it's going to be Cejas. He's had a couple of nice matches over the preseason. Not only does he catch your eye, he's trying to catch your eye. He really wants to stand out. I think this is a player who feels like he belongs in that first string, or he really wants to get there. And we may see that. We may see him starting at some points over this 2022 season. He certainly has a lot to offer. He's proven that. And also, if we move towards a 4-4-2 system, midfielders are going to be king, especially midfielders who are great on the dribble, who are great at assisting, and who can also score goals. And that's what he's proving to be. So he was a standout again, Antwi with the goal. Wonderful to see him consistently scoring game after game. And then, of course, you know, we had an academy player score from a beautiful back heel from Repetto. So we're just seeing nice combination play. We're seeing aggression. And a key takeaway, Phoenix Rising historically doesn't do great when they get down a goal. We were down a goal quickly. We came back, kind of clawed our way out of it, and we take the win home. So that's a great lesson and something we need to continue to work on. Like, you're going to be down first sometimes. It can't equal a loss.
Great job, Kelly. Let's leave that there and let's move on to the next game where we played FC Tucson and we beat them 5-1. So the lineup there, we had Ben Lund in goal. Our fullbacks were Babacar Anjai and Darnell King. Our centre backs were James Musa and Joey Farrell. In the midfield, we had Kev Lambert, Aidan Quinn, Arturo Rodriguez. And up front, we had Santi Moore, Marcus Epps and Greg Hurst. So how did you like that lineup, and were there any surprises in there for you?
No surprises other than what we talked about. You know, I think there had been a little bit of a question as to who those starting strikers would be. And I think this, you know, answers the question. We see Moar, Epps, and Hurst up front with an ending score of 5-1. Everyone's going to be really happy with that lineup. So no big surprises, but, you know, maybe a little bit of definition, a little bit of clarity there. And otherwise, you know, I think this lineup should be memorized. This is very likely our starting 11 that we're going to see next week in our home opener.
Awesome. So Kelly, the game went like this. We gave up the first goal. Tucson scored in the 12th minute. It was a very unlucky goal to concede. Then we went on and scored our 5. Greg Hurst had the first goal with an assist from Babacar Anjai. That was in the 29th minute. Shortly after that, Marcus Epps, he scored. That was just before half time. Then in the second half, we had a goal from Aidan Quinn. We had a goal from Marcus Epps. And again, another goal from Marcus Epps. So, Kelly, I'm saying Marcus Epps a lot.
Did you say it three times?
Who did I not?
You did. That was trying to tee you up for the old hat trick comment.
All right. So I was going to say that, you know, you heard me say Marcus Epps a lot. Who are the standouts from this game? Probably Marcus Epps.
Absolutely a standout. But, you know, I think the whole team performed really well. Now, for people who are new to the podcast, our new Phoenix Rising fans, welcome. And just to mention, FC Tucson might be a team you're not familiar with. That's because they are in the USL, but they're in League One. So these are kind of like a sister team, if you will, in the lower division. So I mention that because we should win. We're expecting to win. You've got your presumptive starting 11 playing against a team in a lower league. We want this to be a masterclass, if you will. And that's what they put on. We saw goals coming from, I'd say everyone, but, you know, Marcus Epps kind of cleaned up in that department. But you've also got Hurst, wonderful to see. You've also got Aidan Quinn, fantastic to see. You've got an assist by Enjai. So there were just so many players involved in the attack. I mean, honestly, you told me before starting to record, I didn't get to go into each of these goals and talk about them, so I'm not going to, but trust me, they were all beauties. And definitely check out Phoenix Rising on Twitter to watch, you know, a clip from each of these goals, because they're spectacular and they're really fun.
I think it's really worth talking about the Aiden Quinn goal. Will you tell us about that?
Absolutely. Oh, so now I get to talk about one. Thank you.
Well,
so much.
I want you to say, tell them what you told me.
So I can't even say this was my favorite goal, but this was a fun goal. Absolutely. So you had Marcus Epps chipping the ball up into the box to Santi Moar, who instead of heading it in, which I think he had probably a chance for, saw a better, more of a sure thing, receives that ball rather than just heading it and adding that force. He kind of absorbs that pressure and makes just a nice little directed header to Aiden Quinn, who came perfectly timed run. I hope we get to say this all season with these perfectly timed run. And I mean, he just volleys that thing gently in. It was no problem. I felt like he could have had like a drink in his hand. I mean, it was like, I'm here just in time. No big deal. They made it look fun. They made it look easy. I felt terrible for the goalkeeper who tried his level best, but no chance. So that was a really fun goal. Not only did they make it look easy, not only were there three awesome players involved, but it was also those two things. I can't remember what I was trying to say. Not only was it that.
I think it's great. I can totally picture Aiden Quinn, you know, with the drink in his hand, taking the shot and scoring. No problem. This is what I do. Hey, Kelly, we need to give a shout out to James Musa, who was subbed out in the 51st minute. So that was due to an injury. And it's really, really hairy for us to be coming into our first game with a centre back on injury, because we've had a lot of injuries in the centre back position. Niall Dunn, injury, gone for 4 to 6 months. Manuel Madrid, he was out for a couple of weeks, and glad that he's back. And then James Musa, yes, on that last game. So what's going on in that centre back line? We don't know, but we hope
it's a good question. And you know, it's a good point that needs to be raised, you know, and I think it was raised obviously in the preseason. You mentioned we had two injuries. And it really forced us to think about the lack of depth in that center back position and what we're going to do. And we've gotten creative. We've seen Lavin do wonderfully in that spot, but you know, he's not necessarily a natural center back. He doesn't have a ton of height. So it's a question that is probably keeping Chance up at night. And, you know, Musa taking a knock is just kind of underscoring that. Last weekend, we saw a trialist in that spot. I don't know what's happened with him. Has he been signed? Has he been let loose? You know, these are some questions we definitely need clarity around, because injuries happen and they tend to happen where you don't want them to, you know, in areas where you lack depth. So I know Chance is on it. I know this is something he's been thinking about. It'll be really interesting to see, you know, what transpires, who we sign, where we get that depth.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. Kelly, let's leave the games at that, unless you want to tell us, are there some takeaways from this game?
Same thing. You know, I think we've really covered the takeaways. We've got lots of people capable of scoring. We've got lots of players that seem to be having fun linking up, getting creative, and clean, clinical finishes. You know, that was the name of the game. And we heard from Marcus Epps after his hat trick, you know, you get interviewed. And that's what he talked about, is that they spent the week working on clinical finishes, and we saw it. We've been wanting to see it. It was beautiful. And also, once again, they were down first. You know, Rick Shantz in a post-game interview mentioned that the first 15 minutes of each of these games was a little frenetic. Or I think he said frantic. That's not what you want to see. You want to come in with a game plan. So they need to work on that. It results in getting down a goal right away. Happened for both strings, but they both managed to come back and be the victors. So, you know, if you're going to get down, you have to be able to come back. So really just awesome takeaways, really positive from both games.
All right, Kelly, let's leave that there and let's move on to the preseason roundup. John McPherson, he goes by @JohnMCP66 on Twitter. He tweeted, "Excited for the season ahead for Phoenix Rising. Rick Shantz and his coaching staff have put together what is probably the deepest roster we have had. It's been a good preseason and the boys look ready." Kelly, John McPherson is clearly optimistic. Do you share his optimism?
I definitely share his optimism. I think it's a great roster. It's exciting what we've seen in the preseason. We'll get just a little bit into that here. And yeah, we've got great things ahead. And I'm just hoping it's raining goals.
I'm with you on that. Okay, just to remind our listeners, we had 7 games in the preseason. So the first game was against Houston Dynamo. How did that go?
That was our one loss in the preseason. That's obviously an MLS side. We played that behind closed doors. And for people who just are trying to remember a highlight, that one goal Phoenix Rising had was none other than Kev Lambert.
Awesome. The second game also against an MLS team, Sporting Kansas City. How did that go?
Rising won 2-1. Very exciting. That was streamed. A lot of fans were able to watch that. 2 goals came from Santi Mowar. That was that beautiful assist from Darnell King. And then we had the penalty kick from Rodriguez.
Absolutely. Okay. The next game was the one that we got to go to. The gates were open. The fans were there. It was against Louisville City FC. How did that one go?
We drew 2-2. Goals came from King and Calistri. Super fun. Great to see the fans. Great to be back at Wild Horse Pass. And just keep in mind, this is one of 2 USL championship sides that we would play in the preseason. And again, mentioned that was a draw.
Okay. Our next game, we destroyed Valley United. Kelly, what was the score?
5-0.
And who scored?
Love a score like that. Who didn't? No, I'm just kidding. We had Calistri. Amazing to see him on the scoreboard. We had Rodriguez with another clinical penalty kick. We had Antwi twice, and we had Hurst.
Awesome. Then we took on Detroit City FC. How did that go?
Yep. Another draw. 2-2. Another USL championship side. Brand new champion side. Great to see Detroit City. And we had goals from, Epps and Flood.
Yeah, and I think you're struggling because the Epps goal, that was listed as an own goal, but Epps really forced that. I talked about that last week, how it looked like it was something from a blooper reel, the way that he sent that ball in and and their center back just turned and headed it into his own net.
With fantastic. All his might, his best goal he's ever had, just happened to be on his own team.
I'm sure. Okay, then on to the games this last weekend. GCU, how did that go?
Again, we won 3-2.
And who scored?
I'm sorry, Antwi, Sejas, and Wise, not a trialist, an academy player.
Yep, absolutely. And then we devastated FC Tucson. What was the score?
5-1. Too bad we conceded that goal, right? But we had Epps with a hat trick. We had Quinn and we had Hurst. So many names on the scoreboard.
Okay. Kelly, did you have any players that surprised you during this offseason? First of all, I'd like to talk about the players that stayed with the team from last season. Sejas was a huge standout for me, and Levine. I think both of those guys, they joined us last year. We didn't see a lot of playing time from them, and we didn't really think that they were standout players at any time last season, but they played fantastic this season. How about you?
From last year's roster, no, I think you nailed it. You know, I think there were question marks for some of us around, you know, why did we retain them? Where will they play? What will the plan be? This is for Sejas and Levine, and proving once again that the experts are the experts and they have the right jobs and they make these decisions. You know, it was great that we retained them. And yeah, I think they're going to play a role for sure in the 2022 season.
And then what about those new signings, Kelly? We had Babacar Anjay. Yeah. For me, he's gold. Same can be said for Marcus Epps. Delighted to see Greg Hurst with us. Wasn't so sure of him when he first came on the field, but he's really found his place and he's going to do great. Impressed with Channing Chaston and Richie Antwi. Need to see a little bit more from Claudio Repetto and Carlos Anguiano, and I'm sure we will as the season goes on. How about you, Kelly? What do you make of it all?
I share your summary. You spoke for me as well right there with the players that you listed. Starting with Babacar Anjay, I think we really are seeing a lot from him. You know, it's unfortunate for Ryan Flood. He's amazing. We're looking forward to him coming into his own. But, you know, Babacar is doing awesome in that left back spot. I'm so excited. I mean, just watching this goal that he scored yesterday against FC Tucson, the assist that he had, it was just gorgeous. I mean, he is so fast. He's lightning, and that's with possession. So really excited for him. That was probably the biggest surprise for me. And then, yeah, those forwards are all really productive. It's just what Phoenix Rising was lacking in 2021, not lacking in a big way, no complaints, amazing scoring. You know, we were very productive, but just to see even more, and especially with the finishing. So I'm with you, lockstep.
Awesome. Okay, let's talk about the evolution of the roster through the preseason. Do you have some thoughts on that?
You know, I think we've talked about it, and I think our listeners have followed along. So just that it evolved, you know, we did see Rick play around with, you know, really mixing, you know, even from that first game that we were able to watch against Sporting Kansas City, you know, we saw kind of a blending of what we assumed would be first string and second string. And then in the second half, we saw, you know, a wholesale roster change, and we saw another blending. Same thing in the last doubleheader. We saw the team split in half. I sort of hypothesized that in that first game, we had the first string mixed in with second string where we lacked depth. So, you know, there's been creativity, you know, some of this is just surmising on our end, but we have seen a lot of combinations of players. And I've been impressed with how well the different players played together. You know, it wasn't like the first string can only play well with each other. We've seen a lot of people rise up. We've seen a lot of people support each other. We've seen a lot of link ups that have been impressive. And to the end, we weren't really sure, you know, who will be that starting 11. So I think Rick has been really calculated. And keep in mind, he's not just seeing who plays well with whom. He's also looking at the opponents. We had an awesome variety. I think we played two MLS, two from Championship League, and then three sort of lower tiered games. And that's really important too. You know, you want to play the teams that you can beat handily to really work on that offense, especially if you're considering changing your tactics. So, you know, we had a great mix on the pitch, and we had a great mix of opponents. So I think it's been a really smart preseason. I'm just laughing because we've had preseasons that weren't good and then they turned into incredible seasons. So I hope we're not jinxing ourselves here. You know, hopefully a good preseason equals a great season.
For sure. Okay. So Kelly, we talked about how the starting 11 that started in that game against Tucson is likely to be the starting 11 for our first game. Is there any surprise in there? You know, we've been talking about the rosters all the way from the very first game in the preseason. Any surprises as to where we thought we would be and where we are?
I don't think so, you know, especially because it has evolved, and it has evolved naturally. And some things just really made sense and clicked. I think where we landed really makes sense. I do think we will see competition, especially up front. You know, personally, I think Repetto may get some starts depending on what happens, obviously, within training this season. I think Antwi might get some starts. I think he's definitely going to get some minutes. You know, and if we do, you know, a tactical shift, we've talked about this as well. We're no experts when it comes to tactics. But if we do see a stronger 4-4-2, again, like I just mentioned, you know, we're really going to have to look at midfield depth. I mean, to be honest with you, for me, if you're playing a 4-4-2, Kalistri is a natural fit. He has amazing defensive skills, a lot of defensive experience, and he also is able to score goals, and not just when we desperately need them, although that's his strong suit, but he can score goals. We've seen that in the preseason. We've seen that over the last couple of seasons. So will he factor in a little bit more than just as a super sub if we work with a 4-4-2? I think so. I think Sejas could as well. So there's going to be heat, you know, there's going to be competition. It's going to be fun to be a Phoenix Rising player this season. It's going to be fun to be at practice. I think, you know, they're going to be playing their hearts out, and there's still some flexibility within that starting 11. We could see shifts.
Fantastic. We already talked about the need for more depth in the center back positions. I like that you're bringing up the idea of if we're playing a different formation, different tactical style, then we'll need a lot of strength in the midfield, and we've got it with players who've come in as subs in the past. So I really like your take on that. Just also want to mention that we're going to be playing in the Open Cup starting in April, and of course it's a knockout competition, so hopefully we'll get through that first game. It's against Val United, and we already beat them 5-0, so were looking good coming into that game.
Can that count? Can that be the game?
Can that count, please? But then moving forward, you know, these are going to be likely to be midweek games, and we will need to rest players. We will need a lot of depth.
Yeah, we'll need depth. We're seeing depth, and that's part of, you know, what this preseason has been about as well, is not just who's going to be our starting 11, but what are we going to do if we have to start different players, either because we're resting the starting 11, because there's an injury. You know, I think we've seen a plan sort of formulating there. And then, you know, relatedly, sort of back to that tactical discussion, but I think it parlays into what you're talking about as well. We have started to play, you know, we've hemmed and hawed and we've overanalyzed this discussion of the goal kicks and playing out of that back line with those goal kicks. But part of that touches upon something that Rick Shantz talked about when he was on our podcast. And he talked about, you know, some of the tactical changes he was thinking about making had to do with getting easier goals. You know, when you're constantly pressing, you have a lot of the opposing team in their own half ready to defend. You know, if you just are constantly putting heat and pressure in that final third throughout the entire game, you know, people are able to sort of stack their defense. Their defense is always on the ready. You're never catching them out. And that makes goal scoring harder, you know. And so he kind of talked about, you know, what are some tactical shifts that we can make to just get some easier goals? And hey, we've seen some easy goals in this preseason. Now, part of that had to do with our opponent, but, you know, part of it as well is stretching out our opponent. When you're playing out of the backfield, especially with those goal kicks, but in general, you're drawing that team forward. You're opening up the midfield. You're opening up the forward line. And that's supposed to make some of this goal scoring easier. And we've seen a little bit of that. So that'll be interesting to watch. But I mentioned that to say, when you're playing like that, you're putting a lot of heat on your own defense there. So you really have to have players in that back line that are good with their feet, who are good under pressure, and who are always prepared.
Awesome. So Kelly, it's time to put the preseason to bed. We remember it fondly with 20 goals. Kelly, thank you so much for coming on the show. Love talking football with you.
My pleasure. Can't wait for next weekend. See you all there.
This is Niall Dunn, defender of the Phoenix Rising, and you're listening to The Fan Experience.
James Bacon, welcome back to The Fan Experience. You're a dedicated supporter of the team, and you're here to tell us your origin story with Phoenix Rising. Before we get into that, tell us about your background with the game.
I'm an Arizona native, born and raised in Arizona, played youth soccer, high school soccer, some club teams throughout the valley. Now just a fan for life. Let's go Rising.
Okay. Which high school?
Mesa.
Okay.
Jackrabbits, carry on.
Go Jackrabbits. Okay, fantastic. So at some point you found Phoenix Rising. So how did you first hear about the team?
I found through some friends and coworkers actually were mentioning that the United were getting bought out and turning into a new club. I found hard to believe because we were so torn out with the Wolves and United that I thought Arizona soccer was not going to be a thing. Gave them a year and a half to see what developed. Finally actually came to some supporter side games and then just bought some regular season games. And then come 2019 and became a full-on Season Rising member and haven't left my seat since.
Okay. Awesome. Do you remember the first game that you were at to see Phoenix Rising?
It was LA? I believe it was Los Dos. It was the end of the season game because it was actually for my birthday around October. So it was one of the later games back in 2018.
Okay. And was that at the old stadium? Casino
Arizona, yeah.
And how did you like the atmosphere? How did you like the setup?
Oh, I loved it. It was absolutely just a very loud venue. The drums, the smoke bombs going off. I loved our nation flags going, supporting all the players from it. One thing I liked about the sport, it's a world sport. It comes together no matter where you're from in the world. You know how to play soccer. You want to play it. So us representing each team with the flags, I actually love that. And I'm glad it's something some of our supporters are carrying on at the new stadium.
Yeah, it's so great. It's so great. So if I asked you for one favorite moment in your time as a supporter, what would you say?
Oh, it was definitely the 2018 trip to California to Irvine, turning Orange County red. Drogba's final season with us, storming that field, raising that trophy, was absolutely phenomenal experience. The bus rides through Arizona and to California. We definitely knew we had something special with the Rising and us supporters in general. So that was great moment for me, and just really built my love for the team and us supporters. That, like, we got each other's back as much as we had that team. So
yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I love that you've been to some away games. Are there other games that you've been to out of town?
Oh, yes. New Mexico is absolutely a riot, and we'll never forget. Vegas is always going to be a good trip out of town. Who doesn't love going to Vegas? But we'll say the New Mexico United was absolutely a fantastic. I was that game when we won the Supporters Shield in 2020. That was a great trip also. The United fans from New Mexico are very loving, very welcoming. They actually glad we had such a huge Rising show in down there, bringing that black and yellow, turning that red as well. That was pretty good.
Cool. Awesome. So what are your plans for away games for the upcoming season? Are you heading back to Vegas, back to Orange County, back to New Mexico?
Those three definitely are on the roster. I'm definitely got a few more in the books. I'm hoping to maybe get up to maybe the Colorado game or somewhere, maybe Austin or RGV would be fun games. I'm definitely going to hit San Diego, Las Vegas. There's about four or five of them. You'll see me out there screaming, "Let's go Rising."
And that's a lot. So James, as someone who's been with the team for several years, you've been around where we've had the conversation about going to MLS, about a lot of people are disappointed that we're not. Some people are happy that we're not going to MLS. So where do you stand on it all? How important is it for you that we bring the team to the MLS?
I'm one of those supporters that actually want us to stay in the USL. It's that fan experience that we don't get. That's, as you've seen, the preseason games are closed to the fans while we were playing MLS teams. That's one thing the MLS doesn't do. They don't allow the connection between the players and the fans. So for me, it's one thing I don't want us to go. Also, the cost MLS is about the money. So there's going to go my ticket pricing for games, for all this gear you see on the walls, all my paraphernalia is going to go up in pricing, which isn't something I'm looking forward to. But the recognition for our brand, for our state, is definitely would be a bonus going to the MLS. We would definitely make waves in the game of soccer if we can get to that level. But for the fan, for me, no, I want us to stay where we are, stay closer. We can bring in the talent. We've had Didier Drogba here. We had Solo Asante. We've got some world-class players. We had Rampage. We've got Rooney. So we can bring more in. It's not a problem.
Nicely put. Okay, James, when you're not supporting Phoenix Rising, what other teams are you following?
Oh, I kind of shuffle around. I'm a Red Bulls fan. I do follow Chelsea because they took Pulisic over there. I like Hella Verona is a very good club team, third party. So I kind of shuffle around all of them.
So Chelsea just celebrated winning the Club World Cup. What's your feeling on the Club World Cup? Some people diss it. You know, Craig Burley, ESPN analyst, called it a plastic cup. So what's your feeling on winning the Club World Cup?
I think it's a great thing. It's just one of those little, any piece of silverware is something to brag about, whether it's just we won the club or we won the conference, we won the world. Like, I'm better than everybody else in the neighborhood, I think, is some bragging right. So for them, congratulations. Hope they can get another one.
I'm right there with you. I totally agree. Okay, so to wrap it up, let's talk about favorite players. So who's your favorite former Phoenix Rising player?
Ooh, there's a lot of them. One that just took the field last night playing for Louisville, Dia. Definitely was always part of that Dia gang. I would come as a defensive player, so we kind of have that similar passion and field. So he would definitely be in my top threes. And then who can't ever say they haven't loved Didier Drogba as being an ultimate player. So,
yeah, for sure, for sure. Okay, how about on the current roster, your current favorite Phoenix Rising player?
Oh, you're going to put me on the spot. It's got to be my Darnell King. Again, playing that same downfield, and he's definitely got the speeds. He's showed a lot more. He's showed up in the last couple of seasons, and every game he steps up more and more. He's always been a big fan. He's definitely a player for the people, too. He loves his fans. He comes over, talks to all of us.
Yeah, he's an amazing player. Absolutely. Okay, James, I love that you shared your origin story with us. We talked about a lot of different things about the club, about the MLS, about favorite players. So thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing all of that with us.
Appreciate it. Then thank you for having me. Hope we can do it again throughout the season.
This is Brian Medendorp, a lifelong supporter of Phoenix Rising, and you're listening to The Fan Experience.
We're just days away from the USL 2022 season. Can't wait for it to start. John Morrissey is with us. He's got news from around the league. There are still some teams that are signing players at the last minute. And of course, jerseys are being released. So let's hear it from John. Hey, John, welcome to the show. What's the news from the week?
Hi, all. Thanks as always for having me on. The big headline for me is Billy Forbes' move to Detroit. He's a player with a really long tenure in terms of what he's done across the lower leagues, dating back to like the NASL days, really, San Antonio Scorpions era. But he will be a forward in Detroit. They're going to play maybe a 3-5-2, a 3-4-3 shape, which really enables him to be a threat in transition for when this team is coming out of that defensive shell with those three center backs, trying to move quickly up the pitch. The thing that sets apart Forbes' game is his pace. And so the space that he gets within that framework is going to be really effective. Detroit also released a really nice kit for their debut season in the USL with this sort of diagonal stripe thing going on. So something fun to note there. Charleston also launched a new kit with some striping. People were comparing it to maybe a Watford kit for anyone familiar with English soccer. Oh yeah, just a fun one there. Not a ton of news out east, but Elliot Panico moving to Indy is something to note. He was the goalkeeper for the Austin Bold last year. Got some shouts online for maybe contention for the goalkeeper of the year title. He'll be a big player for what Indy is trying to do. Moving west, again, not a ton of movement in general. Something to note was Vegas weirdly beat Orange County 3-0 in a friendly. I've been skeptical about really both of these teams, but obviously Vegas to an entirely another degree just because they've kind of left their business late. So seeing that win was kind of a big deal for them. And they also played Cal Jennings in that match, who I believe scored a hat trick maybe against the Rising late last season, but he's just an excellent forward. And so to finally get the confirmation of his return is, again, big for the Lights. LA Galaxy also added a couple of players, mostly college guys, but I did want to note Liam Doyle, who's a veteran center back, and Michael Salazar, a striker who was with Memphis last year. Both of them are probably going to be up and down filling out the Galaxy bench proper in Major League Soccer, but just having that extra level of experience and guidance for the youth is going to be nice for the Galaxy. San Diego Loyal launched a kit. We talked about the Rocket League sponsor in weeks past, but this is featuring that Tory Green color, is how they label it. I think it's a really pretty kit. And then a couple other moves to note would be that the Sacramento Republic signed Demia Viader, the defender of the year in USL League One. He projects as a left back, so he gives competition to Duke Lacroix, who is pretty much the best player that Sacramento brought back on their team. I think it opens up the possibility of Lacroix playing higher up the pitch instead of a wing role, but Viader is really great. By my statistical modeling, he was the best player in the entirety of League One. So another great signing for Sacramento. But yeah, that's the weekend news from me.
Yo, 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 what's up, footy fans? This is Hugh Roberts from the Backyard Footy Podcast, and you're listening to The Fan Experience.
Many thanks to our guests, John Morrissey, Darnell King, James Bacon, and Kelly McCarthy for coming on the show today. If you listened to last week's episode, episode 45, you heard from Gabriel Claudio, who was a trialist with Phoenix Rising during the preseason. We talked to him about how he got the opportunity to try out for Phoenix Rising, and we asked him what it was like. It was awesome. Check it out, episode 45. Well, when he was in high school, Gabriel played the other football. He played as a kicker, free safety, and wide receiver. He was so good that he was recognized by his hometown, Yuma, Arizona, as City Player of the Year after setting, listen to this, every major receiving and touchdown record in Yuma County history. Wow. Anyway, we know that Gabriel didn't get signed by Phoenix, but he got a call to go on trial with League One champions Union Omaha. There's no official word, but it was reported unofficially on Reddit that he did get a contract. I hope it's true, and congratulations to Gabriel. I can't wait to be back with you next week to bring you a roundup on our first game of the season, where we take on Monterey Bay Union on March 12th. It'll be our first game of the season and Monterey's first championship game ever. They're a new team, but they have plenty of names on the roster that you'll recognize from other USL teams, including former Rising striker Chris Cortez and coming over from Charlotte Independence, Hugh Roberts, the founder of USL's Black Players Alliance, who is on this podcast in episode 11. We'll have the home field advantage in that season opener, which means that we'll essentially have 12 players that Monterey Bay will have to battle with. I can't wait to see you at the stadium, and I'm looking forward to having you join me back here next week for a game roundup. Until then, I hope you enjoy the show. It's best when you listen with a friend. Please rate, review, subscribe, share, and follow this podcast. We love hearing from you, so send your questions, thoughts, and ideas to thefanexperiencefc@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at @FanExperienceFC, and the invitation is always there for you to come on the show. And if nothing else, you can simply join me as we shout together, Go Rising!